Okay, if you have a Bible, we're in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. And it says, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables.
Yep, that's right.
Not sure how that works. I don't know. I'm not sure what men we're talking about. But most men I know like to eat meat and have no problems meeting meat. Matter of fact, can we have a show of hands of a man who only eats vegetables? Do we have a man humble enough if he only did eat vegetables to put up his hand, is the question. No hands. Aaron McKinnon? Yeah. Anyway. Yes. How many sisters here only eat vegetables? Oh, one. Michelle does. There you go. You can put up your hand. No, I don't. I eat only vegetables, but I have Maccas every now and again.
With the veggies.
With the veggies. I always think about that. And the funny thing is I take that little gherkin thing out. I always pull the gherkin out. I go, I should just ask him, please, no gherkins. Anyway, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not eat. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself, but what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And anything or everything that does not come from faith is sin. So there's a lot there. So next half hour, I've got to get through all that. or as much as we can, to make some key points. The way I want to tackle this today, because the whole text is the weak and the strong. And I think as you read this, you may actually have some misconceptions as you read it. So let's put in a few little areas, a few compartments here. The key words for me here is the brother who is weak. The weak versus the strong. The second issue for me is disputable matters. And I think the third issue for me personally is mutual edification. Mutual edification. Because in the end, that's what he kind of ends up saying. Let's make sure that whatever we do does to build up for mutual edification. Because what is going on doesn't mutually edify. People aren't being edified. As a matter of fact, they're being judged. Well, the first point is weak versus strong. So the Bible says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment. Now you may look at that and think to yourself, well, gee, the poor person's weak. This doesn't necessarily mean, I think when we read this, we think the person's weak generally. But overall, he's just a weak person. Not necessarily. Because really, again, the issue here, and it's funny to talk about this, because when I look at this text and I think, man, how does this apply to us today? I'm not sure many of us have issues about food. That there's issues with regards to food here while we pass judgment on ourselves. We'll talk about that in a minute. But probably generally not. But here for sure, what was happening is, it doesn't mean the person was weak overall, but just maybe in this particular area in his life, he was weak when it came to what he ate, or what he didn't eat, or what he approved, or what he didn't approve. It doesn't mean necessarily the person's weak. Like some of us have issues with all sorts of things in our lives. I consider myself a bit of a daredevil with some things, but in other things, I'm a wimp. So it doesn't mean I'm overall a daredevil, but it doesn't mean overall I'm a wimp. Okay, so for instance, you know, when it comes to heights, I'm a bit of a wimp. I get a bit sweaty when it comes. I'm not good. It takes me a while to get used to it. If I think about going up in high places, I don't do too well. You could think, gee, man, you're a bit of a coward, aren't you? Well, when it comes to that, I am, and I need some serious help. You know, I'm the sort of person, you know, when I'm scared, I'll start talking a lot. So if I'm going to be up in heights, right, I'll be telling everyone else that they're okay. But I'm just doing that for me. That helps me to. So if I'm on a ride that's really high, I'll say, "Oh, look at that! It's okay. You'll be fine. It's all right." But really, it's just calming me down. I don't care what they're going through. This is just all about me. But in other areas, I can be a bit of a daredevil. And so I think it's a bit like that. What's going on here? So let's make sure we understand. It's not generally weak, but particularly weak in this area. Possibly what was going on here. We don't have time to really read this, but I was going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you want to go back and read it, in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul specifically talks about food sacrificed. People were eating food that was sacrificed to idols. And so that seemed to be an issue. And no doubt maybe the Jewish Christians got an issue with pagans who would sacrifice food to all sorts of idols, and once it was potentially given to an idol, well, that was it. And people saw that as a wrong thing to eat that food. It'd be like a butcher, you know, selling idol meat. Red light special, come and get your idol meat. Going cheap, idol meat. You've been to the markets, you know, hey, come and get you. You've been to thick markets and they're selling the meat. It might have been something like that. You know, people were taking the idol, once it was sacrificed, they take it back off. And then go home and eat and think, hang on a sec, you're defiling yourself. This is a sacrifice to an idol. And people would get off on that sort of stuff. Mm. Now, as I said, for us today, I actually don't think food is much of an issue, to be honest with you. Look, let me give you an example. If any of you said to me, listen, Mike, you know, you keep talking about this KFC stuff at church. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You need to know, okay? I struggle with the fact that you eat KFC. Mm. Now, how many of you struggle with the fact that I eat KFC, honestly? Frank Snooks does. Well, bad luck, Frank. Toughen up, buddy. And of course, that's the point, right? That's what the strong would have said to the weak. Well, hang on, if you've got a problem with this, just toughen up a little bit. You'll be right. Now, I remember when I was talking about foods. I remember going to a conference once in South Africa. I wonder if Karen remembers this. Went to a conference once many, many years ago. And for us to try the local cuisine in South Africa, they brought out all this food. But some of this food was literally bugs. I can't remember exactly what was there, but there was snake, from memory. Emu. It was South Africa. There was worms, like grubs and stuff. Were you there, Pete, for that one? What else did they have? They had all sorts of things. Grasshoppers, which are okay if they're kind of dried out and dipped in honey. Since John the Baptist ate grasshoppers. I don't know. There was all sorts of food that were encouraged to try. I can't remember all the stuff, but let me tell you now, there was no KFC on that table. But I remember, I thought, but it wasn't a big deal. Well, it kind of was. I can't say that I was tempted to eat everything, but I remember trying some stuff. I don't remember thinking, my point is, it was okay. I don't think what we're talking about here necessarily applies to us. Because I think most of us, we live in a multicultural society, and, most people I know, and particularly guys, particularly my two sons, they'll generally eat most things that's put in front of them, except mushrooms. And olives. They consider those things unclean. I don't know if they stumble every time we put mushrooms and olives in front of them, but they do consider them unclean, olives and mushrooms. But here's the deal for me, and here's the deal for me about this, the weak and the strong, and this is what I think we need to talk about for us, because it says, don't, what does it say? It says, with regard to accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Or, for instance, here, the Greek word simply means like matters of opinion. These opinion issues. And to me, that's really the issue. As much as this seems to be about food, and then Paul makes it a general sort of universal thing. So he's talking about food, and even in the end, if you read the last statement where he says, and anything that does not come from faith is sin. Even that last statement, he could have ended. He didn't have to say that last thing. Because he said the guy's condemned if he doesn't eat with faith and just leave it at that. But he says, and by the way, let's make this universal. Anything that does not come from faith is sin. And that's a statement in of itself. What does that mean? To me, that statement, as an example, moving a little bit forward and we'll come back a bit. But that statement to me is a bit like when Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, because anything else comes from the evil one. It's that same sort of thing. It's that duplicity that begins to take place. It takes over. So when you act without faith, then you lead yourself open to duplicity. You lead yourself open to being a guy who's tossed, as James talks about, tossed by the winds, backwards and forwards. And that's why we make our yes, yes, and our no, no, so we don't leave any room for temptation. So we stand on solid ground. That's why he says anything that does come from faith is sin, so that we continually in all things stand on solid ground. Because when you don't do that, you start to waver. And once you start to waver, it becomes a slippery slope and it snowballs into other areas at that point. But he says here, these disputable matters. Let's talk about these disputable matters. Because disputable matters then have an issue with conscience. One man allows him to eat one thing, one not. One guy's conscience allows this, one guy's conscience allows that. And so as we talk about this as well, we have to argue with the whole concept of what's a disputable matter? And not only that, at what point are we allowed to play the conscience card? What point are we allowed to play the conscience card? I think the whole idea of the conscience card is we play the conscience card sometimes because here again the text is the brother who was weak on particular issues. So we have to be reasonable, not passing judgment on people when they are weak in particular issues. It's not a question of someone has an issue with something I do just to say man up. It is the responsibility of the person who's strong to bear with the failings of the weak at that point. But that doesn't mean when it suits you, you say, I'm weak. Does that make sense? Okay, this is legitimate stuff. And I think the reason why I say that is because at times we play the conscience card when it's convenient. We can say, oh, well, hang on, my conscience won't allow me to do that. So in other words, the conscience card can't be played with issues of Scripture when it comes to truth. The conscience card can't be played on issues of doctrine when there's absolutely right or wrong. Because I think sometimes we do that in our minds. Someone will say, you know, I have an issue with sharing my faith. My conscience won't allow me just to go up and talk to someone in the street. My conscience won't allow me. I'm not sure that's a conscience issue. My conscience won't allow me to give. I just can't. I'm struggling with this giving business. You know, giving money. My conscience was just, I can't feel good about that. My conscience won't allow me. Matter of fact, I'm not feeling particularly generous. And Romans and 1 Corinthians doesn't talk about giving with a generous heart. Well, my conscience just isn't generous right now, so I guess I'm not going to give. No, I don't. That's not where we're talking about here. We do have to talk about disputable matters one way or another. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, let's turn there for a second. I think we have time for this.
Come on, mate.
1 Corinthians 4. Let's pick it up in verse 1. It says, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and of those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. He says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. You know, Paul, with regards to his own conscience, says, you know what, with regards to these things, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. And so even more important, why we can't play the conscience card. The issue is when to say, hey, what's right or wrong? We can't bring it in to matters of doctrine or truth, because people do that. They use the conscience card to do that instead of saying, hey, listen, in some areas, maybe I do need to change. It's not just my conscience won't allow me. You know, with regards to conscience, you know, what our conscience won't allow or my conscience will allow to do with regards to even these things. You know, I think we have to watch what we watch on TV. Yeah. I think we have to watch what we see on the internet. Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, I think we cloud ourselves. You know, what do you do when you're watching a movie and there's a sex scene that comes up? Do you sit there and go, oh, my conscience can handle this? And we'll do this at times. We'll play with this stuff. It doesn't seem to bother me. I don't feel myself getting aroused. I'm okay. I don't need to change channels. I'm fine. And then again, what sort of movies do you... And these are interesting things. You say, well, aren't these disputable matters? What I watch in my own home. Is that a disputable matter? What I watch and I don't watch? I mean, no, I think there's an issue of sin when it comes to a lot of these things. I think we do have to watch. You know, some of the stuff on TV these days is incredibly violent. Yep. Some of the movies you can watch. When you go and pick a movie, you know, and you've got to remember, with regards to stimulation, a lot of us, you need, you know, the way it works is we need more and more and more and more. You get used to one thing, you think, hang on, all of a sudden we need more to get entertained. You know, heaven forbid when you hear about those beheadings. Heaven forbid you didn't go searching to see if you could find it. Because when they were first posted on the internet, that would be shocking. That would not be good at all. You could say, oh, but it's okay. I'm used to it. My conscience allows me to do those things. Well, you might have to think about the fact you may be getting a seared conscience. I think we need to have soft consciences to things and not harden our consciences. And even with regards to people, we need to watch this, how we view each other. Because I think this comes into another realm where we talk about weak and strong. Because how do you deal with people that are different? You know, what are some of the disputable matters? You know, I asked Brandon this question. I said, so Brandon, I asked my sons a lot about my sermons and give their thoughts. He's probably sitting there thinking, what did I say? I haven't got a clue what I said. But I said, Brandon, what do you think is a disputable matter? And I don't know if it was the first thing he said, but I think one thing he said was hair.
Yep.
Hair.
Yep, yep.
Now, there's a very fashion-conscious person. Hair is, in other words, how you do your hair, how you cut your hair, what sort of hairstyle you have. Is it disputable? For some of us? But the question is, you know what these disputable matters? It's amazing how we pass judgment. So what does Paul say? Paul says, if you go back to Romans 14, and this is the issue, as much as we don't need to talk about food necessarily, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. And it's amazing to me how we pass judgment. Maybe it's fashion. Do we pass judgment on, is it disputable? Well, I would say some things aren't disputable, but some things we've got to watch how we dress. And I would say to the sisters here, we have to watch how we dress.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on this, but all I know is that I would encourage the sisters to make sure how they dressed is modest, the way the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And that's important, and that's not an issue now, but it's, well, hang on a sec, I'm okay. If you're struggling, that's not my problem, that's your problem. No. You know, in this area, have a guess what? Most of the brothers are weak.
Yep.
Right. I can say that most of the brothers in this area are weak. And so it'll be important for the sisters. And for the brothers, but generally, it's more to do with sisters when it comes to fashion and dress. Now, I know I'm not the expert to talk about this, but if we're going to be open about disputable matters, you know, and consciences and passing judgment, we need to make sure that we're helping each other. You know, you could talk about earrings and nose rings and all sorts of fashion things. You know, all sorts of things. I remember when Brandon and Aaron, Aaron Arcilla, started wearing earrings. And I think I remember asking Louis, what do you think about the earring, man? I don't know what he said. I can't remember what we talked about. But I remember thinking, I don't know how I feel about this. I never wore an earring. I never pierced any of these things. I don't know. It's not my style. Wogs back in those days never wore earrings. I never grew up with men wearing earrings. And I didn't know how I felt about it. And I thought, I can make an issue of this, or this is purely a disputable matter. And it got worse because then he brought this little car that had all these different coloured earrings. And now he was changing the colour every day of the week. Anyway, I just had to hope it didn't spread to anywhere else. And finally, he would grow out of it. And he did.
Amen.
I think. Yeah, he has. Yes. No more earrings. But I don't know how you feel about that. But it's interesting. And, you know, and as a parent, you know, as a parent, our children will do things and they'll dress in a way and they'll do things that you think, you know. I remember someone coming up to me once. I don't remember who it was. It was regards to Jared's hair. And I think he knows who he is and I know who he is as well. But we won't say anything more than that. But I remember him coming up to me and saying, why don't you get your son to cut his hair? And I went, oh, man. That was pressure. That's more pressure than preaching a sermon, let me tell you now. To go. Because, you know, Jared's hair was like, do you remember that when Jared had his hair like this? It was classic. It was classic Jimi Hendrix, man. Seriously, his hair was like this. I can't wait to show him at his flat wedding what his hair used to be like. It was like this. And, you know, and it's like someone's when Jared was growing his beard. You know, so, can you get Jared to shave his beard? I mean, even Karen would say, can you get Jared to shave his beard? What do you want me to do? Tie him down and shave his beard? I mean, but it's amazing how we get.
Yep.
And as the generations change, you know, we get this way. And we pass judgment. And I'm not going to talk about food, but we do. And I want to ask you, you know, in general, we pass judgment every day, nearly all the time. And sometimes we don't even realize it. I'll tell you something which you may not agree with, but I think it's there. I think deep down, all of us are a little bit racist in some way or another. I don't believe we are actually all impartial in every way. I think we do pass judgment in many, many different ways. You know, maybe in some form or another, even in the fellowship, we pass judgment. You know, I find myself doing, this is a confession, I'm not proud of this, but I'm going to say it. You know, sometimes I'll be driving, and I do get a little bit annoyed at times with the driving that's out there. And sometimes I'll say, and if I see something that's not right, I'll say, must be a woman. Now, I don't know how many of you have thought that. Well, if you're a woman, you probably didn't think it. Or maybe you did think it. Maybe you did. Maybe you said, it must be a woman. Anyway, but I think we do it. I think we do, and there's those little comments. Or we pick on races. We are a very racial church in a multicultural society. And I don't know what you think about that. I don't know what you think about the fact Australia is becoming so much more that way. Do you get frustrated? You know, there's a lot of talk about Muslims and people from the Middle East. How do you feel about that? Do you pass judgment because you may see someone like that and you assume with all the media? I tell you, it's subtle. It's very subtle. But it affects and infects our fellowship. You know, we're not as impartial as I think we think we are. We have this subtle, we pass judgment on each other. It can be the little things. You know, I remember, and I think the difference that makes is when you pass that judgment, it the difference it makes with regards to how you deal with people. So, for instance, I was at the conference in Singapore, and I had a brother who I've known for many years, and I sat some time up with him, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've always been intimidated by you," and I went, "What? Me? Gentle, innocent? Me?" Seriously, I was shocked. I was shocked. This guy was intimidated. He said he's always been intimidated. I said, "What?" I felt like, "Why?" I said, "Oh, I don't know. Just have. I don't know. I said, "You know what?" And I realized something. Even preparing this, I realized it's interesting. Even that's a judgment, yeah. Right? Even that is making a judgment. But imagine if you feel that way, how it makes you respond to people then. You know, when you make judgments about people, what you think about them, whatever you think about June, however you may feel about, he's a doctor, however you may feel about June, or anybody for that matter, as soon as you pass any sort of judgment, then automatically that doesn't help you endear yourself to that person. Whatever it is, if it's based on creed, if it's based on race, if it's based on religion, no matter what you think, when you pass judgment, if you pass judgment on me right now, how I'm delivering this sermon, you're not going to be fired up. If you think, "Man, stop rattling on, Mike, you fat gas bag. Get on with it. Say something for sake. Hurry up, say something." You know, I don't know what you're thinking. But I don't know if we're not pure in our hearts about these things. It affects and infects how we are with each other. And not only that, the world. And isn't that why at times we're not more effective in sharing our faith? Why are we more bold? Because we're passing judgment. Because we've made some sort of judgment. As we're out there in the world, we think no one's open. That's passing a judgment, therefore you don't open your mouth. At work, your family, as soon as you pass judgment, bang, you become a closed book.
Come on, Mike.
If you're here today and you think, "You know what, I can't be taught, I've got the truth, I'm fine," man, you're past judgment. And we do it all the time. And that's why at times we're not the free-spirited people that we need to be. Because most of the time we're passing judgment. In some form or another. And it's crazy. And so, which leads me to my last point very quickly. And my last point is simply build. Is simply build. And that's why you have that last statement. Where is that last statement, actually, by the way? Yeah, I know, there it is. Verse 19. He says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food." Now, this was food was the issue, but I would say do not destroy the work of God for the sake of our opinions and our judgments that we make all the time. And let's do what leads to mutual edification. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:8, he said, you know, the authority that Christ gave me for building you up and not tearing you down. It's so easy. And when we pass judgment, we're tearing down. Unless we're, because generally that's what it is. Judgment tends to be a negative thing. It's generally not a positive thing. I'm not saying you can't judge in a positive way, but generally the judgments we make tend to be negative. And Paul says, he says, "The authority the Lord gave me for building you up and not tearing you down." You know, the act of building up, my second point simply here, build. The act of building up, the word simply means to act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness and holiness. So that's what he's talking about then. When he talks about the mutual edification, it's the growth of a Christian's in wisdom. We're helping each other in wisdom, happiness and holiness. Do we understand that? Do we understand that that's the goal for our lives? That that's what we're here for. It's too easy to tear something down. You know how easy it is to destroy something? In a second. You know how quickly, these demolishers come in and knock down a house? In a second. If you get a demolition team in, they can pull down a building, throw dynamite, take them a day to lay the dynamite, bang. What took 6 months or a year or 2 years to build is gone in seconds. And that's the way we are. We can destroy in seconds. James 3 talks about the tongue. Proverbs 15 verse 1. So don't have to turn there, I'll turn there quickly for you. What am I doing? Proverbs 15. says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." You know, he talks about here about harsh words. And the reason why I talk about words when it comes to mutual edification, because I think the one thing we can do, the one way we can mutually edify each other is by how we talk to each other and how we speak to each other. What are we like with that? How are we with bringing about that mutual edification? You know, husbands with their wives. Husbands have got sharp tongues. I know I can have a very sharp tongue. In my arguments with Karen, generally what will happen is if I feel like it's not going my way, I just turn it up. I just turn it up. And not just necessarily the volume, but my tongue gets sharper. If I feel hurt, I'll just get sharper. But that destroys my wife when I'm that way. I think it's something as a church we've got to continually work on with our children. How often husbands, fathers, particularly fathers, I think, but mothers as well. I mean, how negative are we on our kids? We can always pick up the faults in our children. You know that. I've done it. You always pick up what they're not doing right. Versus making sure you're forever, even when they are doing wrong, sure, point it out. They need to know you're disappointed. That's okay. But you point out the good. You're always trying to mutually edify, build up. Too easy to tear down. Way too easy. We may not blow it up in one foul swoop with some dynamite. Let me tell you now, when you've got that little hammer, you can slowly just chip away. And all those negative things we say, all those negative things we think, we just keep chipping and chipping and chipping away. That's not the plan for our lives. Mutual edification. We have something special here. We already live in a society that's cynical. We already live in a society that wants to tear down the tall poppy. We already live in society. If you work in an office, I'm sure you see it and hear it all the time. If you go to school, if you're at university, if you're in high school, you see it all the time. You see the bullies. You see people that may not look right. They may be a little bit overweight. They may look different. And they're being torn to pieces. Torn to pieces. That's a society we live in. There's nothing mutually edifying about that. That's not what the issue is. I think for us, we have the opportunity in our church to be very different.
Amen.
We have the opportunity to show the world how it needs to be, not passing judgment. You know, by nature, I'm a very selfish man. By nature. And I have to work at being encouraging. I have to work at looking for the good of others. I have to work at looking to mutually edify. And I dare say you do as well. So when Paul says, let's consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, let us encourage one another daily, that must be the plan for our lives. When we come here, when we're in fellowship, when we're out in the world, let's not pass judgment. Let's maintain a clear heart and a pure mind as we look at people. And let that bring about the freedom that we need so that we can approach people with confidence and not judging based on creed, colour, skin, or driving for that matter.
Amen.
But let's seriously, in our fellowship, let's have the free spirit to really mutually edify one another. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.